Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Wednesday morning, March the 18th, 2026, 14 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Hope everybody had a wonderful St. Patrick's Day, however you celebrated yesterday. Hopefully it was very enjoyable. Still cold this morning, 20 degrees here in Marion. We have spring coming up Saturday, Friday, it really depends on where you look and who you talk with. But apparently the temperatures are supposed to be on the rise. I think in the 30s today, the 40s tomorrow, the 50s tomorrow, something like that, the 70s on Friday. The up and down temperature shift in the month of March that we get pretty much every year as we head into spring coming up later on this week. Well, there are a few things I want to talk about this morning. Let's start. You heard the story on the news there, but maybe you're joining the show late and we'll read it here on the show so we have it on the record. On Monday night, there was a big conversation at City Council about flock cameras. The use of flock cameras in Marion, what they do, what they can do. And the biggest assertion on Monday night seemed to be that the Marion Police Department was using the flock cameras inappropriately. And there was a report that they had used them to monitor the No Kings rallies here in Marion. Now, at that time, I talked to the operations commander with the Marion City Police Department, BJ Gruber, and I said, can you check this? Is there some way to check this and we can get a definitive answer if this happened or not? And he said, I'll look into it. I'll see what we can get. And yesterday, he released a statement to WGH Talk. So here is the statement. I'll read it now from BJ Gruber with the Marion City Police Department. He said, we conducted an audit of our flock system today, which would have been yesterday, searching for No Kings, protest, etc. The term No Kings was not previously searched through our flock system by any officers, nor was the word protest or other associated terms. What we did find were terms trafficking, as in drugs, stalking, and breaking and entering. These are obviously legitimate crimes, and it would appear that whatever info that was compiled by this reporting agency mentioned in the City Council meeting was incorrect and based simply on the word king. There is zero evidence to suggest that anyone improperly used the system to search for anything related to protests. We asked Councilman Thad Smith to come to the police department yesterday, which would have been today in this letter, and we showed him how this search was conducted and showed him the results for transparency purposes. He was satisfied with what we showed him, but you can feel free to reach out to him for further information. Furthermore, we have built-in safeguards moving forward where our administrative commander will conduct monthly audits to ensure the continued appropriate and policy complaint use of our system. So, that's from BJ Gruber, operations commander for the Marion Police Department, and we got that statement yesterday after Monday's City Council meeting. So, this leads us to the bigger question of, will people believe what Officer Gruber has to say? Apparently, they brought Thad Smith, councilman, down there and showed him what they did. And then it comes back to the original question. I don't know where this report came from. I've seen it, but I don't know where they got their information that this happened, because obviously the police department is saying it didn't happen and giving information as to why it did not happen. So there were a lot of people very upset Monday about this. I mean, this was a continuing conversation during Monday night's city council committee meetings. So this comes back to journalism on the whole. And, you know, this is what I fear. I don't know where certain information is coming from or why it's coming. But it's not hard to make people believe something that's not true. Obviously, we've seen that in the last 10 years or so. And the more false information is out there, the worse it's going to be. Here's the problem. If you don't like the flock cameras, that's okay. But we got to use factual information to back up these stories, I think. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Well, those cameras, if somebody's got a warrant or if there's a drug dealer from Detroit that they suspect or anything, if those cameras pick up somebody, will it automatically alert them?
It's my understanding if they have been given a license plate number of somebody who has committed a crime and it's put in, it would go off. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't see nothing wrong with flock cameras. Why did they call them flock cameras?
I'm sure it's an acronym for something.
I mean, if you obey the law, I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Well, it's because of this story. This is...
Well, they're talking about that No Kings protest, and that could have, you know, been something, but,
Well, no, see, here's the thing. I think people, there is a large group of people that don't want to be surveilled if they have not done anything.
Well, shit. You're on cameras almost everywhere you go, you know? And well, Walmart, they even got facial recognition cameras in a lot of stores, and I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Well, I think the problem, as I listened to it at Monday night's meeting for about an hour and a half, I think the problem is that people feel they have no protection against the police department compiling information that they don't have to get a warrant for.
I still don't see nothing wrong with it.
Well, here's the problem on the whole. The problem on the whole is the stories that seem to bring the most anger out Monday were not flock cameras catching criminals. It was they're using these cameras to surveil us when nobody has committed a crime, like the No Kings protest. And the story was, hey, we've got proof that these cameras were pulled during the No Kings protest. Well, according to BJ, when they went into the system to search that's not true. So, you know, again, this comes back to what is misleading and what is not misleading, and what is an accurate news site and what is not. And do we just report stories that fit our narrative, whether they're true or not? See, this is a big... this is a show that hopefully does journalism, but I'm really starting to feel that the state of journalism is in some real problem here. Because you've got a lot of people who people trust and believe who put out information that doesn't go through any vetting process. And nobody asks anybody, hey, what's your statement on this? Is this true before they run the story? And this is becoming a big problem.
It could be misused, but I think overall it could be a big benefit. Like I say, if you're not doing anything wrong, you know, why are you worried about it?
Well, a lot of people feel that way too. And I think the argument again is is that why are they searching the No Kings protest? Well, turns out they didn't, according to them.
Well, I don't know. Even if they were searching the No Kings protest, they could have been searching for license plates of people that are suspected, going to events like that and causing trouble. I mean, that would be, a good tool to, you could get them before they cause any problem or anything. But, like I say, if you're a law-abiding citizen, why worry about it?
Well, I think that a lot of people feel... Well, I don't know. It's hard to speak for people. It just seems as if people... We live in a world right now. A lady got up on Monday, very sensible lady, and I think she listens to this show. And she talked about ICE. And she talked about what we have seen in other parts of the country. Innocent people being dragged out of their homes, little kids, senior citizens.
Well, Donald Trump, he makes it a, point to where you might be worried about that because, if he wants the Justice Department or anybody to do anything, he wants to go after his enemies, he could, use information, anything he could find to benefit, his friends. I mean, he's making it so... You can't trust the government.
Well, yeah, but if that's a concern, I mean, would you have a concern with the flock cameras then? I mean, I think maybe the people in Springfield, Ohio, might have a problem with them. I don't know if Springfield has them or not, but they might.
I bet you they do in some parts.
So if you were in Springfield, do you think you would have a problem with them?
Well, I wouldn't. If I drove through Springfield and picked up my license plate, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Well, I don't know. So why do you think...
Unless they want to drum up some fictitious charge or something, I wouldn't be doing anything wrong. Maybe speeding. Maybe going through a red light. I don't think those cameras should be handing out tickets like that. They got places where, they hand out tickets. You go through a red light, and the ticket automatically comes back to the car, whether you did it or not. Now, I don't know. My opinion on that, I don't really think that's good. But, to surveil who's coming in the town and, somebody's, wanted, for a warrant. There ought to be some oversight to it, but, to me, I wouldn't worry about that.
And apparently Flock is a company. I just looked it up here. But
that's why they call it Flock.
Flock, yeah, but, do you believe what the police department has to say here?
Yeah, I do.
So why do you think...
I don't think our police department, is doing anything malicious.
No, but we certainly have heard the accusations as of late.
Yeah, but I think our police department and our fire department and stuff, does a good job for, although I've kind of had a little problem with the fire department, but I can see where they was coming from too. But I told you about me and the fire department, didn't I?
Right.
They come in here and I'm laying on the floor and they bitch at me for about 20 minutes because they're called down here so often. And I told them when I first come in, I can't lay flat on my back. I have to turn on my side. That I was laying on a sore. and all of a sudden, you know, one of them reached down and pulled me back, so they could, you know, it's going to have to pull me back, you know, to get me up. And I told him about laying, and I just think, you know, that was done on purpose. And that sore bled, you wouldn't believe how bad that sore was.
Well, this is kind of
pressure sore, you know.
Right. Well, this is kind of the conversation we had about the hospital on Monday. And I'm only bringing this up again because I did look a little further into this yesterday of what a five-star rating is. You know, apparently there are something like over 200 hospitals that got a five-star rating. And
in the country or in Ohio?
I think in the country. And the things they're basing this on, these people have not really been to the hospital. They're just basing it on rates and statistics. So, like you said, now I've never had a bad experience with the fire department. A matter of fact, the one issue I've ever had with the fire department, they were exemplary in helping me a few years ago on Thanksgiving when the oven caught on fire. And they could not have been nicer, could not have been more Johnny on the spot. They couldn't have been greater. But Monday, as I said, I think I've seen people have bad experiences recently in the hospital. Now, I have not always seen them have bad experiences, but the last couple were not great. So then I wonder, how are they getting a five-star rating? So I guess this is all just whatever experience you have with whatever employee you're dealing with.
Well, I've had a couple things with the hospital, too, but, you know, you got to go overall. I mean, they released me, and I was waiting for somebody to take me home, and they said that they canceled. And then I heard them out there talking about where they was going to place me. And that's, I don't think they canceled at all. I already had my release paper, so I told you I got up, and I was going to go as far as my legs would carry me. And eventually they got one of those transport chairs and wheeled me down front, and I waited out there for 2.5 hours for somebody to come and get me. But, you know, that was a little problem with them. They told me, you know, like, once I left the floor, you know, when I come back up, I'd have to go through the emergency room and stuff. But, you know, there's, when you go with the overall picture, you know, I've been satisfied with the hospital. You know, there's been a couple employees I don't think was maybe, you know, as friendly as what they should have been, but, you know, you can always find fault with something. But
Well, for me, it has to be pretty big fault. I mean, I'm not talking about a minor issue. I'm talking about something so out of the ordinary. Well, like I told you on Monday, people coming to visit people from out of town and talking about how badly they felt things were being handled. Now, I assume these people go to hospitals in their own town and might not have that same feeling or attitude. But I guess what this all comes down to, we're living in a world of social media, and I guess the part of that word that's important is media. And again, I have no problem. I think the more information, the better. The more information, the better. But we have got to find out what is right and what is wrong. Because it's kind of like when cable news first came in. When cable news first came in, you had Fox News, you had MSNBC, and you had CNN. And they all had news in the title. So everybody thought everything they say is news, because they're the news stations. But a lot of what they did was editorializing. And a lot of what they did was opinion. But people took it as news because they guised it in a way that was news. So
Fox has always,
well, MSNBC has done
news,
it,
you know, to make the Republican Conservative Party out to be, you know, no fault.
Well, yeah, but MSNBC has done that sort of thing. They have opinion commentators. Well, but I guess my point is that's what we're doing now with social media. We're putting information out there that we have no factual basis for, and that's not a, you know, you can do that, but tell people we have no factual information, but this is what we believe. And then it's an editorial. Then people can choose to believe what they want. And we, you know, there was a big story, a nice story, and I think this is a Marianne boy, so I certainly don't begrudge him at all, but I think his name is DJ Burns, and it was in the, I believe, the Dispatch yesterday. Now, he runs this blogging group called The Rooster. Now, this is the group we talked about a month ago that got Gordon Gee coming out of the bathroom. And he does a lot of that sort of thing down in Columbus at the State House and places like that. And he catches politicians at parties or board members coming out of board meetings. And he throws the camera up in their face. And he chases them. And essentially, I have only seen a few of his videos, but he really never gets any information from the person he's chasing. It's just more of, you know, get away from me, or I have nothing to say, or no comment. And then people want to see those videos because they like seeing the powerful people running away from the camera. So,
and
it's,
if you put it on YouTube, you get paid for it.
Right, so
if you get a bunch of hits, you get paid for it. Just like, well, back I told you I seen an article on there where Trump was relieved of, you know, his duties and escorted him out of a White House and stuff. Well, that wasn't a site that I normally watch, so I suspected it was, but that it was just to get you to click on it.
Right, so I'm not saying that what he's doing is wrong, but it's my understanding that this is a left-leaning blogger, that he makes no bones about the fact that he is of the Democratic Party. And, you know, so is there a bias?
Republican sympathizers doing that too.
Well, right, but I guess my point is, what information are we getting from this? And then we have to look toward things. Yesterday we talked about there were a lot of people who put information out now who won't even put their name on it. Because my guess is, and I don't know this for sure, but my guess is that they work jobs that probably would not look very kindly if they put their name on something that was negative, or untrue, or attacking somebody or some organization. So they have to do it without even putting their name on it. Now, okay, is
wrong,
that,
you know, social media, there's some good stuff about it, but a lot of times it's bad stuff.
Well, as I said,
they can get on there and just try to ruin you, you know. They do that to businesses. You know,
well,
somebody has a problem with their pizza or something, and, you know, they go on there and put all kind of articles on there, you know, demeaning the business and stuff. And some businesses, if you do that, it could really affect them.
Well, as we talked about yesterday, this foodie guy who has been in Marion, D.C., the foodie, he got a front page story on the paper. He got invited to speak at Harding. And really, what credentials does this man have? Do we know how he's doing this? Is he getting free meals? Is he getting compensation from these businesses to make these positive videos to try to drum up business for them? I don't know. I can't make that accusation with fact because I don't know, but other people have made that accusation. So is he on the up and up? Are these really good meals? Is he a food critic, or is he trying to be a social media influencer? I don't know. But, you know, I think that we have really got to look at what we are getting information from and what we are getting misinformation from.
Well, people should be held more accountable for what they post on the internet. You know?
Well, like I said,
if you're posting wrong information or trying to, you know, hurt businesses, they could go to a business and say, hey, you know, grease my palm and I won't, you know, be on you and put bad information about it. You know, a little bit my palm here.
Well, see, that's one of the problems.
They could try to destroy you.
Well, that's one of the problems with social media. And a lot of people do make money off of it. I can promise you I've never made a money of a dollar, a dime, a penny. I've never made a penny off social media. I've just never made a penny off social media. But here's the problem. If you are making money off of it, and I'm not saying you're making thousands of dollars off of it, although I'm sure some people are, if you are, and that's your goal, that's your income, then you are going to do things that aren't exactly always true.
You're going to do something salacious, so
we've got to do something salacious. And a lot of times, right now, what we love is we love trashing people. We love tearing people down.
That's going to get the hit.
Do you think if this rooster out of Columbus, do you think that if he actually walked up to people and said, sir, could you please answer this question? And when they said no, he just walked away. Do you think people are watching those videos? Probably not. But when you chase them and you're shouting things at them, well, then we got to watch them.
Well, the paparazzi does that too.
Well, yeah, and
I
think
it's ridiculous how, you know, a lot of famous people, you know, get hassled by that. You know, look at Lady Di, where, you know, they was chasing them at high speed.
Right,
and her, you know, driver ended up wrecking. The paparazzi should not be allowed to do that.
Well, no, but they are. But they are because you're in a public place. And you know, that used to be considered paparazzi. I don't know if it's considered paparazzi anymore. I don't know. I mean, if I took a camera down to City Hall and waited for Bill Collins to come out of the building, and when he did, I'm on public property at City Hall, and I started shouting questions at him. Now, he doesn't, let's say, you know, he says, shut up or get away from me or whatever he says as he's getting into his car. Now, I bet I could get a lot of hits with that video. But what information
did you do good journalism?
No, but what information do I get? Nothing. I get nothing out of that. I get hits.
I just like to see that.
Right, and I would never do that. I would never do it for that reason. But some people would. That's the world we live in. And people have got to check their sources. People have got to be willing to admit they're wrong. You know, if their story is wrong, you've got to come back and say, you know, I was wrong with this one. I didn't intentionally try to be wrong, but I was. And so, you know, we got to figure this out.
They don't do that.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Because they're afraid it would hurt them in the viewer department. So, you know, there's a big problem going on. And I hope somewhere in the middle, it's going to be on the public, because I don't think the government's going to fix it. I don't think there's going to be regulation on media. So somebody, people in the public are going to have to decide what is reliable news and what is not reliable news. And I hope they check their sources before they make decisions on things.
Well, if the public didn't watch stuff like that, then we wouldn't have them. I mean, I don't turn stuff like that on to watch that kind of stuff. I'm on Facebook now. I told you I got me a computer, but I'm not on Facebook to socialize. You know, what gets me is when you're on the marketplace, you can be going through there, and all of a sudden the Facebook, you know, homepage shows up, and I just automatically keeps doing that. You know, whether you want it to or not.
Oh, by the way,
they try to kind of force you to get on some of that, you know, and socialize.
Well, there are a lot of good aspects to social media, but there are also a lot of bad. And the impact it's had on the media is not good. It's not good at all. But I want to remember to say this, and then you can say what you want here. I ran into a longtime listener of this station yesterday, and he was having trouble. I don't want to say his name on the air, but he was having trouble getting the station, so I gave him the website address again. So I hope he found us this morning. So if he did find us this morning, and I told him what times we were live, just call in this morning at some point and tell us you found the station again, to one of our longtime listeners. A long time, goes way back with us. So I wanted to make sure I said that this morning. But what were you saying about social media?
I forget now, but I hate it that you guys ain't on the radio no more.
Yeah, but you know, nobody, you know, the problem with that always was people would complain when you drove outside the listening area that there was trouble getting that. And they would complain that they weren't allowed to have radios at work anymore. And they would complain that, you know, they don't sell radios anymore. You know, you can operate in whatever media you want, as long as you do it responsibly.
Well, look at Phyllis Church. She used to be on there all the time when he's on the radio. Now, you know, she's not on there at all anymore.
But I think there are a lot of people now who listen who didn't listen then.
Well, yeah.
So, you know.
It makes it a lot easier. You know, you got these people in Utah. I think you got one. You got a lot of people, you know, way far away that can listen to it. That's a benefit.
And people are on their phone now, and people can listen with their earbuds, and people don't have to carry a radio around and find electricity and that sort of thing. I mean, when's the last time you walked into a store and saw somebody with a radio hanging on their belt listening to a station? They have their cell phone with them, and they've got their earbuds in, and that's how they're listening.
People and those dang cell phones, a lot of my age, you know, they're on the phone constantly. They watch TV on them. I mean, if they did away with cell phones, there'd be a lot of people who would have to go to a shrink.
Well, you got to change with the times, and I think that's what we did, and you're still with us, and a lot of people made the switch with us, so I'm happy that they did, and I think that's what you...
It took me a while to get set up to do it, but, you know, I like the station, so I ended up doing it.
Well, and I think that's the point. You know, it's like in the 80s. When there were only three broadcast networks, that's what you watched. But if you found out there was something or somebody on cable that you liked, you went and you got that service because you liked the show or you liked the person.
I kind of miss it, you know, those days. You didn't have to worry about the news. The news was pretty much fair and balanced back then. And, you know, there's not going to be another person like Walter Cronkite again, you know, that you can trust, you know, giving you the truth.
Well, it's a different world.
You know, putting the truth out there, it's not going to pay your bills. People ain't going to watch sometimes. You got to make up, you know, something really catchy, you know, to get them, you know, following you.
Well, yeah. That's a lot of people now deal in the memes. You know, they want to draw the funny pictures and alter things from what they actually are and put it out there and say, okay, that's what it is.
And there's so many of those emojis out anymore. There's emojis for everything. And then there's titles, you know, like LOL, you know. There's all kinds of titles like that that people use, you know. I don't know what the heck they mean.
Well, I know LOL is laugh out loud, but other than that, there's a lot that I don't know either. So we'll see where it goes. Stay tuned this morning.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, 48 minutes past the hour. And, yeah, hopefully the person who I ran into yesterday, longtime listener of the station, was able to find us this morning, or is finding us this morning as we are live here this morning. So give us a call if you did find us, 740-383-9944, and we've got our flock camera response this morning as well. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. The article came out in the Marion Star about flock cameras already. It's amazing how, when you have a public small lynch mob, how they get on the ball the next day. They did their audit yesterday about the flock cameras.
Yes.
And but I just wanted to touch on what Lee said quickly. That as far as information in you, as far as information goes, no, I don't think people should be out there spreading fake news. I don't think that does us any good. But I think as consumers of information, we need to know the difference between what is good news and what is not good news and how to verify whether something is true or not. So as much responsibility falls on us as consumers, you know, buyer beware. Think about your buying information. Make sure you're buying good information.
Well, that's true, and I have not seen that. When we put this story up last night, the Marion Star had not done their story yet, so I'm not sure if it came out this morning.
It did.
Okay. So now is this the quote
that... You spoke with BJ Gruber as well. I had not been to your Facebook page. I was up early this morning and fell back to sleep and tuned in about 25 or 30 minutes after the hour.
Yeah. He sent me the quote. We had talked on Monday, and I said, can you check on this and figure out what is going on here? Are we going to have a definitive answer?
And then he said the drug trafficking and all of that stuff to you as well.
Yeah.
Like breaking and entering or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First off, I don't believe that on a stack of Bibles, because if that search picked up breaking or entering or drug trafficking or whatever, I feel like every police department that has those cameras and uses them for that purpose would be on that list, and not like the 19 or 20 police departments that popped up for No Kings or No Kings protests. So I don't believe him when he says that. What I do believe is a possibility is that when they first heard about this, when Jay McDonald first heard about this, and BJ Gruber knew about it but didn't look any further into it, I believe it's a real good possibility then that anything that any misbehavior that was done would be deleted. Because the first No Kings rally was in June, and the last one was in October. So it's reasonable to believe that they would have deleted those searches. But who knows if they created some list from them or not. That's the next question. You know, I don't believe him. I don't believe anything he says. He said he knew about this and he did nothing. He admitted that in city council. And then yesterday they looked into this all of a sudden and nope, there's no evidence. But what could have happened was drug trafficking popped or breaking and entering popped. Those crimes happen in every single town in the United States. Every single town in the United States would have lit up. So please don't underestimate our intelligence. We're not stupid.
Well, and
it's far more plausible that they just went ahead and deleted it and it doesn't exist when they heard about it the first time, because they thought, oh crap, somebody's going to come digging. Let's just delete it now.
Right. Well, I think, you know, this is a fair point. And I think this is how this is supposed to work. There's an accusation made. The police department gets to make their response. And then people can decide on their own what they believe and what they don't believe. I think, though, what we had Monday was we had people making the accusation with no response from the police department.
Right, and now we have one. But maybe when that resident who asked months ago, when she mentioned it, maybe if she had gotten a response then, I would believe it. But the fact that we had to go up there and have that forceful of a conversation at city council, and then them tell it. Would they really, after what happened Monday, do you believe that they would have came out and told us, yes, these cameras have been misused?
I threatened
to sue them. Do you think they would have came out and said, yes, we admit we misused these cameras?
Well, I don't know, but I do know this, and this is kind of the point I was trying to make earlier.
But logically, though, does that make sense that they would tell us, yes, we violated your rights?
Well, I don't think anybody like would want to be found doing that. But
right.
But
BJ Gruber, remember, let's go back to him also being the one that investigated the police officer unholstering his weapon and pointing it at two of his coworkers' faces. He investigated that and didn't think that rose to the level of telling his boss. So I don't trust his investigation skills.
Well, do you think he would admit to that?
Well, no, because Dad never made it public. We never heard about any of that. So no, I don't believe him. Sorry. All of his community outreach work was for naught because I put him in the same category as everybody else. They're going to have a real problem around here in about 10 years with the way they've treated half this town, and the other half is moving out. All they're going to be left is with us poor rednecks up here, and they're going to have to deal with us, and none of us like them right now. So they're going to have a real tough time. You want my Ring doorbell camera? Oh, unless someone is actually, like, trying to murder me and get in my house, you're not getting it. You get a warrant and get my Ring doorbell camera. Oh, and guess what? It never existed. I would not help the police do anything. I would not tell them if I saw speeders. Do your own work.
Well, and here's one of the
problems. And that's what our town is going to be left with, Scott. And they've done this.
Right, but, you know, here is one of the problems on the whole that I do worry about, is that if somebody makes an accusation about a group or a person or anything like that.
When you investigate yourself, no one's going to believe you. Not in this town.
Well, I think that is interesting. But I'm not sure who else would come in to do it.
They have some type of citizens oversight board. A lot of communities have citizens oversight boards. Do you think that, you don't have to give an answer. I understand your perspective, but let's put this rhetorically out there for your listeners. Do you think that an officer who has been an officer for less than 2 years, unholstering his loaded weapon, which typically the police officers have their guns chambered and their safeties are not on because if they need to pull that sucker, they need to shoot. He pulls his gun, and he even says if we'd been carrying a SIG, which is a Sig Sauer type of pistol, if we'd been carrying a SIG, when he bumped it on the car, it probably would have gone off. And we've got officers horseplaying with weapons. And BJ Gruber investigated that and gave him a 30-hour suspension over 3 pay periods. Someone could have been killed, and he gets 30 hours of pay docked over 6 weeks.
Well,
overtime. 30 hours of overtime. I'm sorry. It wasn't even his regular pay. It was 30 hours of overtime that he lost out on. That's who we have running our police department. I do not trust them to make good decisions when it comes to protecting the public from their own malfeasance.
Well, but here's the interesting.
And then I'm going to drop the atomic bomb. Ayers Ratliff. What I saw them do to him, I do not trust any of them, and I hope that karma is real. And BJ Gruber was there on the day of closing arguments. He led all those cops in there to sit and pack that courtroom in a show of force. He was the major that was there that did it, and before then, I had no problem with BJ Gruber. When I saw him there that day, I lost every ounce of respect I have for that man.
Well,
and that charge into that courtroom like that. He was the major that was there leading the charge.
Well, and I think this is one of the bigger problems that we have right now is what perspective do we come to the story with? Because everybody has their own personal biases. I mean, we just have them in life. So what do we come to the story with? What do we come to it on the side of the police department, or do we come to it?
I wouldn't expect you to do anything other than just report what happened.
Right, which is, I think, what we try to do, because here's what, okay, let me go a completely different direction here in the 3 minutes.
I want to say this to Lee's point, really quick.
Okay.
Lee, what they depend on us to do is to believe in them and trust them wholeheartedly and not question them because we respect them and we respect their authority. And I'm not saying that there aren't good police officers on that force, but I'm telling you that it's bad from the head down.
Okay.
So,
well,
yes,
yeah,
they depend on us to respect them.
The point that I want to make is that oftentimes when you're doing interviews, people will say, why do you have bad people on? Why would you put that on? And one that always sticks out in my mind is there's, I think they call themselves the white nationalists now, Jared Taylor is the head of that group. Now, I have had them on, and I can have a 45-minute conversation with the head of the white nationalist in the United States of America about what his group is, why they believe what they believe, and where they think they're going from here. Now, in that conversation, he might not like everything that I say, and I'm perfectly sure that he doesn't. But it doesn't erupt into a conversation and a lot of or an argument. And a lot of people will say, why would you put somebody who believes that on the air? Why would you give them any airspace at all? And it's because you always try to believe that the audience is smart enough to know what that person is. By hearing them, you know what they are. You know what they believe. I thought the same thing about the QAnon shaman. A lot of people got very angry. Boy, you think the Democrats didn't get angry with me on that one? About putting the QAnon shaman on, who had just been pardoned of all his crimes right after Trump got back in office? You know, people didn't like that. Couldn't believe I had that guy on. And there are people still in the Democratic Party who would not come on because I had him on. But again, I think if you hear him, do I need to tell you what or who he is?
You are also making us aware that these things exist.
And that's the point of journalism.
Awareness.
That's why
awareness.
I don't understand false information. I don't understand memes. I don't understand
again,
anonymous.
It's up to us to verify. Anonymous comments. You and I had a brief conversation. People do that because they don't have the spine or they would get in trouble for their opinions. And that's the reason why they do that. If you don't put a name to it, I don't even bother acknowledging you.
Right, and I think that's a big problem as well. But again, this Rooster guy who's very successful, and I believe he's a Marion boy. I have no problem with that. But I just wonder, well, now what information are you getting? Is this
sometimes them not answering is the story, though, Scott, you have to admit.
No comment is a story, but let's take airs, for example. Because this is, I guess, how this DJ would handle that. He would wait to find airs in a public place, and he would jump in his face with a camera, and he would start throwing the questions at him. Now,
and you just keep walking. You don't say anything. You don't cuss at him. You don't throw anything at him. You don't call him names or anything. You just keep walking.
Right.
So there's no story.
But he ends up getting a video that people will watch because people like that.
Yeah,
and
you're right. I mean, and that is, as far as that goes, you can't help that. But, I mean, the news used to do that. I mean, I saw Columbus News was doing a story about the Children's Services caseworker, and they went to the person's last known address and were knocking on the door.
Yes, but I don't think Columbus News is doing it to try to create sensationalism. I think they truly are trying to get an answer because they probably have not gotten an answer from that person through any other method.
That Rooster feller is doing what people like. We can't be mad at him. I don't like it.
No, but we've got to
him for doing what people like.
But right, and we've also got to understand he's probably making money off of it.
Oh, sure he is.
So,
National Enquirer. This is the new version of a National Enquirer.
Right. So we have to understand though, is he trying to get information or is he trying to create sensationalism?
Both. You have to have sensationalism to push the information these days.
Well, I don't know. See, because I'm still
If you want to make money off of it, you do.
Okay, but here's my question. What major story has he broken?
He's done some OSU stuff, I think.
Right, but I mean, what information... Find me one video where he has gotten, besides just happening to be there when the cameraman was assaulted, he was standing next to him. What information has he gotten out of a question that he's asked of anybody that was of relevance? If anybody can find it, I'd like to see it.
I've always looked at it more as an entertainment thing, but I know you've got to go to break. I want to get it in. Free laundry night, Colonial Coin Laundry, Main Street. Detergent, washers, dryers, free. Bring your clothes.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this.
Yeah, he was selling it.
Honey, we know. But we care about you and want to know what's going on.
That's right. We just want to understand.